On February 1st, cricket head Marek will retire, concluding one of the greatest careers any trainer has ever had. A member of what one may call France's first family of racing, she has won the Arc de Triomphe 3 times, established herself at a time when few thought a female could rise to the top ranks of the French trainer standings, and on 2 occasions beat life-threatening illnesses. Head Marek is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
California Chrome, straight and strong. Absolutely sensational. California Chrome.
California Chrome.
To California Chrome. All the way to the Kentucky Derby.
California Chrome wins impressively.
He's gone into overdrive. California Chrome wins the Dubai World Cup.
One of the greatest performances you'll ever see.
Chrome turns to gold.
Welcome back. This is Bill Finley, the host of the TDN podcast, and we have a very special guest this week, cricket head Marek, who began training in 1978. Along the way, not only did she win 3 arcs, she won the English 1,000 guineas 4 times, the French 1,000 guineas 7 times, the French Oaks 3 times, and the English 2,000 guineas and English Derby each once. She will soon wrap up a wonderful 40-year career at age 70. Welcome, cricket. And the first question is fairly obvious. Why did you pick this time in your life and your career to say goodbye and retire?
Well, sometimes you have to stop doing what you are doing. So I decided that I had to finish training, and that's why I picked at that time.
Okay. And what are your plans now upon retirement? I know you're going to stay involved in the business, but could you just explain what you're going to be doing now?
Oh, well, I will work on my dad's farm and take the farm along, and I'll be going racing. I've got I've got horses in training of my own without a trainer, so it'll be fun.
Okay. And who will those other trainers be?
Well, I don't know yet. I have to decide.
Okay.
Maybe my brother, maybe my son-in-law. I haven't decided yet who's going to have who.
Okay. Now, cricket, you've never been afraid to speak of the obstacles you had to overcome as a woman in a profession dominated by men. In fact, you have often said that your own father, Alec, said the following to you: you may marry a trainer, but you won't be a trainer because there are no women trainers. So how difficult was it for you to overcome these obstacles?
Well, it was not that difficult, but in the old time, there was no woman trainer in this country. So Papa always told me that, well, I would marry the trainer. But when I was small, for me, it was, you know, something that didn't come in my mind. So I always said, well, I want to train. I want to train. Then I worked with him. And one day he said, well, I think you're ready to train. So he helped me to have my license. It was not easy because there was no woman trainer, mm-hmm. but then it was very easy. I mean, everything came together. And the luck for me is to train for a big stable like Prince Khaled Abdullah, mm-hmm. Jumon Farm, the Wartimer's brother, and people like that. So they gave me a lot of good horses to train, and that's where I am today.
Okay.
Three troikers coming to us from this choice moves in the fourth now. But it's Lamar Mowbray pressed by three troikers. Three troikers in front here. It's just stuck the front now. With Troy from the direct on the horse's downside. But it's three troikers from Lamar. And Troy in third now. Pagano from the direct finish. But it's three troikers as we reach the line from Lamar. Three troikers is going to win it from Lamar and Troy at the line. Three troikers makes it Lamar second.
Now, you wasted no time proving yourself, winning the Arc in 1979 with three troikas. Was it special because it was the Arc? Was it special because you were the first female trainer to win the race? Was it special because you proved your critics wrong, or was it a little bit of all of the above?
I think it was everything together. Mm-hmm. I would say, well, you know, I was proud because it was the first woman to win the Arc, and that's something that, you know, you have to be proud of it. And then everything went together, so it's a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a monumental victory for any trainer, and
of
something
course.
That puts you on the front pages of the newspapers, makes everybody pay attention. How did that change your career, and did that win set the stage for so much of the success you had later on in your career?
Of course, it did, because it helped me to have good owners. And if you have good owners, well, the rest comes to you. They were sending me good horses, well-bred horses. So afterwards, well, everything came together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I owe everything to my dad, you know, because he's the one who made me. So my dad, he's my mentor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's get back to that then. Your dad, who had said at that one point, you won't be a trainer, you will marry a trainer. I guess he completely reversed his opinion. Obviously, he was very supportive of you going into the training profession. Okay.
Yes, he was absolutely. He supported me. I worked with him 2 years before I started training, and then he helped me a lot. Of course he did.
Okay. Yeah. Now, on the racetrack, you continued to win, but off the racetrack, you soon had the first of two serious health problems. In 1990, a diagnosis of a brain tumor, with doctors telling you you had a 50-50 chance of surviving. Cricket, that must have been devastating.
It was, but not for long, because I always, you know, I'm a fighter, so I like to win races, and I like to fight. And I think my horses did help me a lot to fight those problems. I'm not the only one who has that problem, and it's life. So what can you do? You go on and you fight. Mm-hmm. And I did fight. And I think, I'm still fighting.
Okay.
After today.
It's interesting you said that, because so much has been written in studies, and there's been so many studies about how horses... The interaction of horses is so good for people mentally. And
absolutely.
Could you, again, elaborate on that part of it, that that being around the horses, being able to get out of bed every morning and have a purpose, and being around these magnificent animals, was that the best medicine? Was it better than any medicine or chemo or anything else that doctors could have provided you with?
Well, I think so. And I'll tell you one thing. The doctors say you wouldn't be able to do what I've done. And now when I go and see him every 3 or 4 years, he's amazed. Mm. And I said, you know, it's because I was getting up every morning at 5 o'clock and working. Mm. And I was not thinking of my illness and nothing. So everything went on like that. And luckily... they didn't want me up there. So I'm still on earth.
Well, we're very, very good news that you survived that. Of course, as we mentioned, there's another health scare to come, but we'll wait to get to that. Now, Cricket, it was during that same period in your life that you won your lone grade one race in the United States, the 1994 Beverly D with Hatouf. You've also won the E.P.
Yes.
Taylor in Canada 3 times. But for the most part, we didn't see much of you in North America, not like Aidan O'Brien or even Henry Cecil, who came over here, and perhaps Andre Fab as well from France. Was there any particular reason you didn't compete much on our side of the Atlantic?
No, it's because I thought, you know, I didn't have enough good horses to come abroad, to go to your country. You know, to win abroad like that, you need really to have top-class horses. So that's why. When I thought I had a good horse, I went.
Okay. Well, there's much more to come with Cricket Head Marek, but first this commercial from our good friends and our sponsor at TaylorMade.
Midnight Storm, a brilliantly fast Grade 1 winner by Pioneer of the Nile.
Mike Smith just points him in the right direction. Midnight Storm dominating.
Millionaire and 7-time graded stakes winner on dirt and turf.
Midnight Storm over Accelerators, finding the line well, but not well enough, and Midnight Storm has taken it by 2 lengths.
From America's hottest sire line.
Midnight Storm, he wins it this year.
Midnight Storm, standing at TaylorMade Farm.
For all the success you've had, Cricket, you also have had your share of adversity, which we've already mentioned. You were hit again in 2005 with a diagnosis of cancer. Was your response perhaps, my goodness, here we go again?
Yes and no. I took the thing as easy as I could. And, you know, I did what I had to do. Had an operation. Then I went to hospital for chemo again and everything. And thing went okay again. I mean, up there, nobody wanted me to go. So But again, the horses helped me to not think of the illness and to work, and that's all. That's all I know.
Okay.
And the horses helped me, and that's for sure.
Okay. Now, this was a difficult period in your life for a number of reasons. In 2006, you lost the Wertheimer family, who run one of the world's top stables, as a client.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, I'm not really quite sure what exactly happened, but I know it involved a dispute with jockey Olivier Pellier. Can you just give us your take and explain the story of why the breakup occurred between the Wertheimers, who had been involved in the Head family for many years?
Yeah, absolutely. But I didn't get on with Olivier. Even if he's a fantastic jockey, I didn't get on with him. And that's all. That was the reason. So, you know, for me, it was very hard to go on training horses without being really well with the jockey. So one day we had to part. And that's what we did. I mean, and it was okay. I understand, you know, what they wanted, and they say they keep the jockey and they change trainer, and that was okay. Those things happen with trainers all the time. We lose clients, we gain clients. That's our life. Of course, it was a blow because I worked for them for 30 years, so it was a blow. But still, it goes that way. That's life.
And what was it about you and Olivier that you guys did not connect well? I believe I've read that he didn't always listen to your instructions, that he wasn't...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He would ride the horses the way he wanted, and he thought I was not capable to train, and that's all.
Okay. After losing the Wertheimer stable, Head Marek went through some lean years, but she would come roaring back in 2013, thanks to a great mare named Trev. That'll be the topic when we return on this week's TDN podcast.
M-Shawish, the winner of the Don Handicap.
This horse is the complete package. He's won from 7 furlongs to 1 1/8. He's won on dual surfaces. He's won with and without Lasix. And he's traveled around the world and brought his A game with him.
He showed that he was a very top class dirt horse.
Balance is key, and you know, he was just perfectly proportioned. I think that's what made him so athletic and so efficient on the track.
Standing at TaylorMade Farm.
Cricket, Trev was bred by your family, but the original intentions were to sell her. She was put in a 2011 Arcana sale with a reserve of 22,000 euros, which she did not meet. That's an awful low reserve price, and it looks like the Head family didn't think much of her. Why? Tell us about why she was in that sale and why the reserve
was
low.
No, it's not that, because we kept her.
Okay.
It's not that we didn't believe in her. We kept her. We paid 22,000 to we bought her back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the filly was a bit light when she was a yearling, but I thought she was a nice filly. I always liked her myself. So she went through the ring. She didn't fetch the reserve that we put on her, and we bought her back, and that's all. It does happen in sales all the time.
Okay. Now, considering what she accomplished on the racetrack, did you ever look back and think, oh my goodness, what if someone actually had bought her at that sale besides you guys?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. And I thought of the end of bidder. Imagine the poor guy who put 21,000.
That's right.
Imagine what it was for him. No, of course we did. But that's life. You made a mistake, but you have to cope with your mistake. If she would have gone for 22,000, we would have been the breeder of an ARC winner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Trev won her first 3 races, including the Group 1 Prix d'Anne. After that race, she was sold to Al-Shakab Racing. Now, they kept you on as the trainer, and was that a part of the deal when you made the sale, or did they just figure that you were doing a great job and will continue to let Cricket Head train the horse?
No. I sold her saying that I would keep her. If not, I wouldn't even sell her.
Okay.
Yeah, we kept the mare and half of the prize money.
Okay.
Trev moving up on the outside in the grey jacket under Thierry Jarnet, making eye-catching headway now. Kizuna is also on the move. So too is Orfevre. The cream beginning to rise to the top as they approach the home turn in the arc. Joshua Tree leads the way just. Running home well now on the outside is Trev, and she's absolutely motoring the filly. Kizuna is asked for quicken up, then Intello and Orfevre coming through as well. But Trev commits inside the final two, and she's kicked away. Trev by three lengths to Orfevre, Intello, and then Kizuna on the outside. They run inside the final furlong. Trev and Thierry Jarnet by four lengths to Orfevre, and racing for the live. Trev is tremendous, unbeaten and unchallenged in the arc. Trev wins.
Carrying the Al Shakab colors, Trev, a three-year-old filly at the time, won the 2013 arc impressively. It took you 34 years, but you returned to the ARC winner circle at Longchamp. You can probably answer this a million different ways, but what was the one thing that made that win so special? What's the one thing that stands out most about that ARC?
Because the ARC is for me, it's the best race in the world. There's nothing, there's race, bigger race money-wise in the world, like the World Cup or the race that Arrogate won last year, the run in your country Saturday. But the Arc is something different. It's different. For me, the Arc is the best race you can find in the world.
Mm.
Actually, this year, she was the ranking of the Arc was the best race. They receive a prize this week in London.
Now, Trev's 2013 ARC win would be her last for a long time. She lost her first three starts as a four-year-old and was winless going into the 2014 ARC. Cricket, why was she not at her best form going into that race? What was going on?
She was very stiff all year round, and I couldn't. She had feet problem, and I couldn't find exactly the problem, and so it took me a long time to figure out what was really the problem that she had, and nobody could figure out the problem. So it took a long time, but then she came back to do her best. She was coming back in the morning, in her work in the morning, and even when she was, when she was beat in the prep race, the Prix Vermeil, she ran a very good race, because that day I asked Jarnet not to be hard on her because our target was the Arc. And I said, please don't give her a hard race. I don't mind if she doesn't win, but we'll be ready for the big one. And we did. So that was good.
So coming into the 2014 Arc, it sounded like despite the losing streak, you were fairly confident. Were you as confident as you had been the year before?
Yeah, absolutely. Because coming back the year after, she won everything. I mean, she was unbeaten. She arrived at the Arc unbeaten that year again. It was the contrary then. But the pressure was very tough. And, when you go for a third Arc, there was so much pressure on the shoulder of my jockey. There was pressure on everyone. And the race didn't win the way I thought it would. I wanted the horse to be ridden close to the lead. We put a pacemaker, and she didn't break well. He was far back, and the race didn't went fast enough. And we beat by a very good horse. So we can't, racing, it's like that. So you've got years you win, years you lose, and she ran a good race. For me, it was not a disgrace to be fourth in the Arc.
Right. As Hed Marek mentioned, Trev did not win the 2015 Arc in her attempt to become the first horse to win the race 3 years in a row. But 1 year prior in 2014, going for two in a row, she was again magnificent.
This is the home straight in the Arc de Triomphe, and it's still Montviron, the pacemaker, in front. Trev, look to the left. Avenir Sertan is coming there. Ruler of the World behind those. Togruta down the centre, but Trev, look at her. She stormed through to the lead now with 200 metres to go. Avenir Sertan into second. Togruta down the centre in third place. Trev is in front by two lengths. Is she going to win a second Arc? Flinches after in second. Togruta behind those. She's done it. Trev back to her best, has won the Arc.
So, Cricket, can you sum up what this marvelous filly meant to you?
Well, she meant everything. it's a blessing when you have a horse like that. And, you know, she made everything for me. And she was something else. But I was very, during all my career as a trainer, I crossed very good fillies and good colts also. Because you said that it took me a long time to win the Arc, that's mm-hmm. for sure, in between 1979 and Trèves. But I was second in the Arc with a horse called Bering. I was second mm-hmm. in the Arc with a mare called Egyptban. I mean, you know, to win the Arc, you really need to have the top class horse at that time of the year, best 3-year-old or best 4-year-old. So it's not easy. Those races, they're very difficult to win. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I had all along, I had lots of good horses. I was very lucky. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cricket, you already touched upon this, but I want to go back to that. Now we're talking about the 2015 Arc, and she has the chance to become the first horse ever to win the race 3 years in a row. And you said you were proud of her, that she ran well, but certainly that must have been somewhat disappointing. I mean, you were on the verge of making racing history.
Yes, of course. You know, with horses, you always have to be ready for the worst and hope for the best. So those things happen in a race. It's never, if it would be too easy if you would, you know, if she would have won. I really wanted to win that race because it would have been fantastic, but that's racing. Mm-hmm. The race didn't win the way we thought. There was no pace. She was far back, and time she came back, it was too late. The ground was fast, and she was beat by very good horses. So, you know, that's the life of a trainer. Mm. You win, you lose, and you have to get back on your feet. And the next day, it's the next day. After the Arc, it was another day.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's like my retirement. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I decide to do it, it's like that. I decide to do it, and I will do it.
Okay. Now, Trèves now a broodmare, still owned by Al Shakab, and she has delivered her first foal, a yearling colt by Dubawi. Do you keep tabs on her? Do you ever get to see her? And what can you tell
well,
us?
In front of me, I've got a picture on my portable. I've got a picture of her. Mm-hmm. It's my page. Okay. She's beautiful, that colt. It's very strong. He's really beautiful. So I look, you know, I want to see him and I will see him race. I hope so, to go to Longchamp and see him win big mm-hmm. races.
That would be fantastic.
We've got the family, and we've got the dam, we've got sisters, so we are involved with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cricket, in America, we've had a few women who have also been successful trainers, but I think they too have had to face obstacles. We've never had a female trainer win our Kentucky Derby. If some young aspiring horse trainer who happens to be female in the United States is listening to this and say, I would love to follow in Cricket Head Marek's footsteps, what advice might you give them? What would you tell them to have ammunition to fight the battle?
But it's difficult. You know, I think the first thing, you have to have good owners. I mean, owners who can afford to give you good horses, because without horses, we're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, good horses make good trainers. So the first thing is that. Is to find owners like I had, like Judmond Farm and all the people, Sheikh Maktoum Al-Maktoum, who I trained Fitna and Atouf, and my dad, and all the owners that I work with, who gave me the possibility to have good horses.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to try. If you want to do it, try. Some will be better than others, but that's life. You have to try. You have to always try.
Now, come February 1st, when you saddle your last horse, what do you think you'll miss most about training?
To get up every morning at 5 and to go into my yard and to look at my horses.
Okay. And on the same sort of subject, maybe you'll wait till after February, but perhaps have you, now that you know that it's official that you won't be training, we're only a few days removed from your actual official retirement day.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to look back and think about what you've accomplished? And has it really sunk in that, you know what, I was really one of the most successful horse trainers of my era, female or male? Have you had a chance to enjoy that thought yet?
Well, I never look back, to tell you the truth. But I've written so many things on me that I didn't. When I train, every day it's a new day, and I don't look back. I don't want to. I don't look back. But of course, I'm pleased of what I've done so far, because it's true that. But I did everything because they helped me to do it. The horses have put me where I am today. Mm-hmm. Without mm-hmm. the horses, I wouldn't be a champion female trainer. But of course, I'm proud of what I've done, because if not, life is no fun to live. Huh?
Very good. Well, Cricket, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for taking part in our Thoroughbred Daily News podcast. Congratulations on a wonderful career, and enjoy your retirement.
It's a pleasure. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Cricket.